Congo.
Your mic was on. Domati, we have been going back and forth for the last 20 minutes trying to figure out how to say your name. It's Domati Pongo.
Yes.
Is that correct? 100%.
That was perfect. And I love that that bill. Pongo, right?
That's how you say it. You got to have some force behind it.
Can we have the engineer just take that sound bite and play it at the end of each of my reports? I would love that.
I want you to end each report with these words. I want you to do the news and then at the end go, Pongo out. That's what I want at the end.
I love it.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Where did you come from? I mean, Ireland, obviously.
Yes, of course.
No, Ireland.
But born here in Chicago, but both of my parents are from Ghana, from West Africa. Born and raised. Yeah, they came in the 70s.
I think you meant radio station wise, didn't you? WVON.
Ron's on again. Oh, yeah. I know that.
So I was scared, Wendy, to say the call letters, so I chose the country. But yeah, so I came from WVON. Yes, that's where I was previously.
And WVON studios are in Ghana. People don't realize that.
They're not in downtown
Chicago.
You know what? You're not that far off, Bill, though, because I actually took 25 listeners from the previous station to Ghana.
That's excellent.
25 people over a span of 2 years. So a total of 50 were crazy enough to travel half across the world with me.
That's outstanding.
It sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Have you been there a lot?
That was my first time going as an adult was in 2016.
And you still have relatives there, right?
Still have relatives there, have some cousins there. I went when I was a kid. I barely remember that, though. So,
Is there a McDonald's there?
There's a KFC there.
Is there really?
Now Wendy's in.
It's like, you know how the rock and roll McDonald's is like a pretty big deal here?
Right.
KFC has like a rock and roll KFC.
It's
two levels. It's like fine dining. And I love to see how these foreign countries change the recipe for local palates.
Right.
So they have like this jollof rice, which is a Ghanaian rice, which comes with the chicken. It's really interesting to see.
Now, here in the States, Colonel Sanders is portrayed by various actors. Right now, it's Rob Lowe. Do they have a Ghanaian actor playing the role of Colonel Sanders there in Ghana?
It's Idris Elba. In Ghana.
Eat yourself?
No. I'm joking.
That's excellent.
It's the same old colonel.
He'd be the most intimidating Colonel Sanders in history. That would be excellent.
Just with the same get up from Beast of No Nation, just eat the chicken. You know, I don't know. That wouldn't do well for marketing. I don't know.
No. Oh, that's so funny. Wow. Well, welcome aboard. We're pleased to have you.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
It's an honor to be across
you guys. It really is.
Good. Very good.
This station is just really warms the cockles of my heart.
Yes, it does. Can I just say that? Yes, it does.
Just the legend behind it.
Yeah.
Why are we on it?
I can't figure that out. But, they agreed. We agreed. Everything's good.
So don't tell anybody.
No, it's our secret. All right. So I'm sure you're all aware of this, but the James Comey hearings continue, and we will certainly keep you up to date. I know the newsroom is buzzing with activity upstairs, and they're gathering information, and we will keep you up to date on everything that's going on there, for sure.
And if you want to continue listening live, you can go to WGNplus.com. I believe that's where it is on our bonus stream.
Yeah, it's on the stream.
Do you think it'll be over by noon when we go there?
You know, I don't know that it will be over. They said at the beginning there's a hard out time on how long this can go today, but I think it's beyond 1 o'clock Central Time. So it's very possible that it could go into that hour and beyond.
Seriously?
We don't know yet. Yeah.
I am fascinated with this.
Oh, it's been, I mean, we're only an hour in, but it's really been action-packed so far. So everybody in the newsroom is gathering the data that you'll need, and we'll cover that for you for sure.
Absolutely. Quick break right now. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I was listening to the James Comey hearing.
You said it three times. Why?
Because I screwed up the first time, right. And I just wanted to show I know his name.
All right. I thought it was like, remember when you were a kid, you could say like Bloody Mary doesn't hurt me or something like that, and look in a mirror and some apparition would show up. I thought it was the same with James Comey.
James Comey would hurt no one.
No.
I've got to tell you, it saddened me to hear him talk about his removal from the FBI.
Very abrupt.
Very abrupt. He wanted to stay there, and he had a nice little shout out to all his co-workers.
Said he never got to say a proper goodbye to them, which is sad.
And
that happens when you get fired sometimes. I'm not supporting Donald Trump, but a lot of times when people get fired, it's immediate.
They give you a box.
Yeah.
They
pack
say
your stuff.
Yeah. A lot of times they have security escort you out as well.
That's true.
That's not right.
I've always wondered about that, because what would lead them to believe, if you're a trusted employee and have been working at a company for years and years and years, What makes them think you're just going to take a crayon and draw over the wall? I wouldn't do that.
Well, I think that it has been going back a long time, but there are disgruntled employees that come back and do terrible things to
people. Happened last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
So I don't understand it. And if you want to listen to the continuation of the James Comey, former FBI Director James Comey hearing, you can go to WGNplus.com and listen to that in its entirety. And there's no reason to tune away because we will keep you abreast of the whole situation.
Promised.
I don't really know what is going to become of this, though.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone really knows what will become of this. Like, what's the end game on this? What I don't know what their goal is. I don't know what will be achieved once this is over.
I guess just to find out once and for all.
They're not going to repeal the presidency based on this.
No.
Right?
I can't imagine they...
So I don't know what happens.
Is anybody following the real Donald on Twitter? Because I'm wondering if he's tweeting along to this.
Oh, live tweeting this? Good question.
He has not tweeted.
Really?
But his son has, I believe. Yes, his son is tweeting, but the Donald is not tweeting.
Not at all. And which of the sons, Domini, do we know?
Eric.
Eric is, yeah.
That surprises me.
Oh, sorry. Donald Jr. is tweeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can mix and match.
Is it the one with the slick back hair, or is it the one with the slick back hair?
That's pretty much how I identify them. It's the slick back hair. It's that one.
Is it Lenny or Squiggy? Do we know which one it is for sure? We don't know? Okay, we'll figure it out.
Well, I was just fascinated listening to this. I really was.
It is fascinating.
And you have your windows down because it's nice outside, and you hear everybody else's car is tuned to it, too, because it's just, it's fascinating.
Why play Beach Boys music when you can have this as background music? It's better.
I just am embarrassed sometimes to be an American. Well, I really am.
You know what? Here's what it reminds me of, and I know that only people of a certain age will appreciate this, but... When the Watergate hearings were going on, I was far too young to really appreciate it. This will sound awful, but I just wanted it to go away.
Right.
I mean, as did Richard Nixon, I guess. But it was so, it was such a drain on everything. But as time has gone on, I understand the importance of what the Watergate hearings are. So this is like our generation's Watergate hearings, kind of, isn't it?
Right. And we were too young. I didn't really care, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I didn't. But now, as an adult, these are things... Now we know why our parents cared.
Sure. Sure. And I've heard the debate back and forth already, even though, you know, we're an hour into this, but there was so much speculation. Is this as tragic and as horrible as Watergate, or is it more tragic and horrible than Watergate? I don't know if you can answer that yet.
I think it's equally bad, but apples to oranges, which is one of your least favorite expressions.
Right. For people who are not aware, the phrase goes, well, it's like comparing apples to oranges. And people always go, well, you can't compare apples and oranges. But the fact is you can. You can do that all day long if you want to.
But it makes complete sense because they both come under the fruit umbrella.
Right.
But they're very different. So that means that you can compare things that appear to be alike, but they're completely different.
I know. But with apples and oranges, you could compare their size, their shape, their color, their texture, and on and on and on and on. But people always go, well, you can't compare apples and oranges. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's the whole point of it. It's just saying they're both fruit but very different. So
right. I give in to that.
I don't understand the things you stand up for sometimes.
I've had this I'll go into Jewel and talk to their produce manager for hours about this.
I meet a lot of our listeners in the produce department of Jewel and Mariano's, by the way.
Well, that's where the show is. It sounds best there. They crank it up at Mariano's.
No, they're not listening to it. They're just fans that, you know.
Who also enjoy fruit.
Yes.
That's the subset.
And I spend most of my time there because when I'm picking out limes, I have to get, you know, 12 of the most perfect limes. So I'm really there for probably 40 minutes.
I just talked to the people in the marketing department. Our ad campaign for the last quarter, it's all on fruit. Like it's listening to Bill and Wendy.
I would love that.
And it's on peaches and mangoes, bananas. I love it. It's going to be a great campaign.
I'm not even kidding. That's why don't we have
fruit
a little
for the stars? That's what they're calling it. It's going to be huge, Wendy. You'll see.
You know how they have a little wooden stick with a little sign on it that says, you know, apples, Honeycrisps.
Sure.
Why don't that could be our billboard?
I like it. It's not
small,
expensive.
Small, concise.
Right. Right.
I like it so much. Another thing you hate is back in the day.
That's one I won't give in on.
And I find myself saying it. I don't use it. It's not a crutch. I don't fall back on it all the time. But I'm okay with that expression. And every time I say it, I have to look away from you.
Yeah, because I want to know which day. When people say back in the day, I go, I'm not familiar with which day you're referring to. Please let me know. Because back in the day could mean Wednesday. It could mean the 1400s.
It means back in history. Are you the person that when someone says, did you get a haircut? And you go, no, I got a mall cut.
No, that would be stupid. That's where we draw the line. We're going to take a quick break. News is next, and then a whole bunch more coming up on the show. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Domati. It is Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN, and you can join in. You can text us or call us at 312-981-7200. This is disturbing. There's a school in Canada, in Alberta, Canada.
A high school.
It's called A High School. It's called, now you may have to help me with the pronunciation. It's spelled Breton. Would that be Breton or Breton?
Breton.
Is it Breton? Is that how they say that in Canada, Wendy? I don't know how they say it. So that at the school in Alberta, Canada, they have let the girl students know that with warm weather now upon us, a lot of people will dress a little lighter. You know, you might not wear as many articles of clothing.
You have the right to bear arms is what I like to say on
Alicia,
that station.
You nailed it. You have the right to bear
WGN
arms.
WGN News Time, 10:39:39.
During the warmer weather months. So what this school has done, this Breton High School in Alberta, Canada, is they have sent out a memo that is disturbing, and I will read you the memo. And in it, they tell these girl students that the boys are there to learn, and don't you be distracting them by wearing clothing that might change their mood or their thoughts from knowledge.
Isn't there a dress code to begin with?
I would imagine.
So why?
Every school has a dress code. But, you know, it gets
a
little more.
We are the devils. You know that? We women are the devils.
Well, yeah. That's obvious. All right. Let me read you. Let me read you what it says here. A high school recently shared a note warning female students that dressing provocatively can lead to what they called distracting working environments, and people there are not happy about it. Here's what the memo reads. This is from the high school to the female students there. I would have said female body, but that would have been distracting, Wendy, so let's just say female students. When you wear little to no clothing and dress provocatively because it's too hot out, it says in quotes, too hot out, or because you think it's, again in quotes, attractive, you are putting boys at risk of having a distracting working environment. And saying, again in quotes, your clothing is more important than your education. Instead of dressing like a THOT, oh, I'll get to that. Because that's
a thought. Thought?
Instead of dressing like a thought, a THOT.
Do we know what that is?
I do know what that
is.
You want me to tell you what it is?
I can't wait anymore.
It's street where I live, Wendy. It's street for that hoe over there.
This is coming from a school
official? Well, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sound like they're on the level of the kids.
They're not.
Oh, of course they're not. But they're trying to be like, hey, we get it.
Is this a guy? Do we know?
You know, it doesn't say. But my guess, I'm just guessing here, but I'm guessing there was a committee that drafted up this letter. It could have just been a guy or a girl. It could have been.
It sounds like a guy is speaking
like
this.
I'm hoping it's not a woman. That would have been, wouldn't it have been awful?
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of dressing like a THOT, it says, value the male education and dress conservatively. Now, this is a memo that was written last week, because when you look at it, you go, well, what would this have been, 1962, 1963? No, it was last week, 2017. Some of the kids, Wendy, you'll be surprised to learn we're not too pleased with this memo.
This is just so unprofessional. It really is.
It's awful. It's awful. Now, the story goes on. It's at Yahoo today. The story goes on to say that the use of the term THOT is what parents and students are particularly upset about. It is an acronym, according to the Urban Dictionary, and it stands for, like I said, that hoe over there.
Be honest. You didn't know that before.
No, I did know that. Now ask me why I knew that.
I have never known what that meant when people called me that.
It's a term of endearment.
I am very bothered by that, too. That's why I'm saying this has to be a guy writing this.
It would have to be.
Although now I'm thinking a bitter woman would write it, too.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I hadn't even considered that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. One parent told the Global News that two male students wrote the controversial note in response to another note that was posted on a bathroom mirror, and it stated, when you interrupt a girl's school day to force her to change her clothes or send her home because her shorts are too short or her bra straps are too visible, you are telling her, making sure boys have a distraction-free environment is more important than her education. Instead of shaming girls for their bodies, teach boys that girls are not sexual objects.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, right.
And the bra strap showing, I just got to tell you that sometimes the bra strap falls down. I'm sorry.
It's inevitable.
What can you You've had that problem too?
More than once. I'm not proud of it. But, you know, I like to wear the spaghetti tops, Wendy, in the summer months. You know this.
There's a new bra I've seen on the internet that is rubberized, and it just basically fits over each side hogan, and then you...
What's that term now? Because I know what THOT is, but I'm not
the side breast.
Ah.
And then right. it laces up almost like a corset, but for your girls.
Really?
So there are no straps, and it's rubberized, so it stays in place. I've seen it on Facebook all the time.
What's it called?
To try one.
I'd call it No Strings Attached.
I don't know what it's called.
That'd be my name for it if I had my own company.
I'm shocked I didn't. But there has to be a school dress code. I know that you can't have shorts. I think it's not supposed to be like 4 inches above the knee or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds
maybe it's a
right.
little higher. Yeah. But have a dress code, adhere to that, and screw this memo.
Now, I get what you're saying. And I'm not on the side of anyone who wrote this memo. But I do know that when I was in high school, there were guys that were easily distracted. You know, it's hormone city, Wendy.
Yeah,
so
but
there are
then
guys that are easily distracted, and I'm not saying
so
that
we
that
have
makes
to change
right.
the
no,
way we dress because
no,
you guys can't
no,
keep it in your pants.
Absolutely not. No, you should not. No, but there, you know, guys at that point, at that stage in their life, anything would set them off. Anything.
Add that to an ADHD kid,
makes
and
it even
he would
worse.
Blurt something out.
Yeah. It makes it even worse. High school principal, Laura Jollymore. Did I make that name up?
She is not very jolly.
Nope. High school principal, Laura Jollymore, confirmed the legitimacy of these notes and sent a subsequent missive home to parents regarding school dress codes. According to Global Calgary, that's the newspaper there, the note stated this. There are some female students who have posted their opinions about how they feel that they should be able to wear whatever clothes they wish at school. I don't agree with that. I don't think any clothes you wish.
There have to be guidelines.
Oh, without a doubt.
I know if you have like swear words or bad t-shirts, a lot of times they will make the kids flip it inside out.
Right.
And again, the short thing, you know, I think there's a specific length of a short that it cannot be above that.
That makes sense.
And I'm sure, you know, I think you should cover up the cleavage a little bit.
Sure.
It's high school.
It's, yep.
This high school yep. or junior?
This is high school.
All right.
This is high school.
Can George talk about this?
I would like George to talk about this.
Well, George, you get the stage here. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing? I love you guys and love your show.
Thanks. You, George. What do you make of all
and
this?
Welcome, and welcome to the newcomer, too.
Oh, Domini Pongo. Yes. Yes. Thank you, George.
As much as I disagree with the term thought in the letter, I don't think that was appropriate. I completely agree with the context of just the overall, what they were trying to say. This is not a school of a bunch of Laura Ingalls
right.
in dresses going to school. Okay, girls these days are absolutely insane with the things that they wear. When
right.
I go out with my buddies, we play a game called 12 or 20. You see a girl like a distance, you have to get, wait, are they 12 or are they 20? Because nowadays you have no idea.
That you do, it does blend in.
You know, it is true.
Yeah.
And I blame that on the growth hormone in the milk, but that's another story. Because I can't.
I blame it on the parents.
I blame it on Domini Pongo.
I'm sorry, but I do.
I'll take that one.
All right.
I mean, you can blame it on growth hormones in the milk, and I understand they develop earlier, but that does not mean they have to dress like that and show it off. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you know what? Then don't look issue. At it, George. I mean, we can wear whatever we want. Is it not a free country?
Of course it's a free country, but do you think it's appropriate for a 13-year-old girl to wear yoga pants hiked up to her belly button with her cleavage showing? And is that appropriate, too?
It can be a bit much.
Yeah, but that's up to the girl and her parents. I'm sorry, it is. It's kind of none of our business.
In a school setting.
I agree with the school thing.
Right.
But they have to have a dress code that they adhere to, and no school official should use the term thought. And boy,
that
I never...
That was a strange choice
sounded,
of words.
It sounded like the student council wrote that letter more than the school official.
It's possible. It's very possible. George, thank you so much.
Thanks,
have a good
George.
Rest of the week. Now,
have a good night.
Good night.
A couple of times, yeah. A couple of times when I would visit my daughter's high school for various reasons, I noticed that, and I'm not the first person to notice this, but a lot of the boys would wear the lower riding pants. So you'd be treated to a view of their underwear many times. And I'd say to myself, I know that boys' minds and girls' minds work differently, but if that was role reversal and a girl was wearing her pants that low and you could see her underwear, there'd be a line of guys behind her just following her around the school.
Well, girls wear sexier underwear. Come on, be honest.
Well, not always. How many times have I been...
I don't want to hear
I've been cited here at WGN please, for dressing too sexily.
Kevin,
you know
pop
that.
My thought bubble.
You know
pop
that.
It.
So there is a slight double standard there.
And that shouldn't be allowed in schools
no,
either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I
like a good-looking boxer short, but, you know, I'd mm-hmm. like to see it in my private time.
Absolutely right.
Not That's at so school.
Not at school. That's them's learning hours. That's what that is.
That is a terrible term to use in a memo from the school. I'm
the
sorry.
T-H-O-T?
And I never even knew what that meant.
It's so funny that that's the part, so much of the focus is on the fact that they use that. And again, the term is THOT for that hoe over there. Don't be dressing like THOT, like that hoe over there. But I think the bigger message is that a school would have the audacity to say to the female students, you better be careful. No matter what you dress, you could potentially be screwing up boys' education. These guys are here to learn. Don't you be dressing too sexy for them. That's the awful part of this.
And I'm telling you, some of the boys aren't there to learn.
Not all of them.
They're there to gawk at the girls
yes,
and what they're wearing.
There's a percentage of that, sadly. Yeah. All right, a quick break and then more discussion. We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. What are your thoughts? It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That man talked very quickly.
Doesn't he, though? He's going to get splinters.
I have never heard that expression before, and I like to think I'm pretty hip and up on
top. Hot? It's getting too hot up in here, Wendy. T-H-O-T. That's
I
what
like
we
that
say
better.
On the streets. That's the street term.
Better than thought.
So if you're just joining us, there's a high school in Alberta, Canada. I don't know if it's Breton. I'm
I'd
not
say
sure.
Breton.
Breton High School in Alberta, Canada. They've sent out a memo to the girls there saying, look, the weather's getting warmer. We understand that. And a lot of times what this means is you'll be wearing less clothing. But be careful because you'll be distracting to the male students. The boys are here to learn, so don't you be dressing too provocatively because it'll mess up the boys. Not fair.
And someone says, has anyone seen the clothes for girls in the stores? It's difficult to find clothes to purchase that are not spaghetti straps or short shorts. Really, sexualizing of girls starts young, 5 years old, with the merchandise available to purchase. You can choose not to buy it.
Some celebrity was in trouble earlier this week. I'm almost positive it's Jessica Simpson.
I think that's where she looked like a pole dancer instead of a mom hosting a five-year-old party.
No, there's a picture of her daughter who is 5 years old.
That she looked like a pole dancer?
Well, her daughter's wearing a bikini, so I'm almost positive
so
it's Jessica
what?
Simpson. So Jessica Simpson goes out in her backyard and she takes a picture of her daughter who's five and she's wearing a bikini. And then all of a sudden, all these people are commenting going, hey, that kid's 5 years old. Don't be putting that kid in a bikini. What's wrong with you?
It was Jessica Simpson. And who cares? Again, when people just mind their own business.
Right. No, you can't anymore. Oh, everyone needs to be plugged in, Wendy. There's no time to be minding your own business.
She's in a bikini. It is not...
It's as innocent as innocent
yeah,
can be.
There are ruffles all over it. It's right. Pink and blue. I mean, please,
right.
People.
Yeah, there's no... I don't see... Unless it's really well hidden. I see no hidden message at all in what's going on there. Just a kid who's out on a summer day wearing a bikini. That's all right.
Although she is on a scooter in a bikini. Perhaps you should wear
story.
More athletic type things.
Right. Is that why people were upset?
Yeah, you know what? I don't like a bikini with shoes. If you're going to go bikini, you got to go barefoot.
That's your gripe with that?
Anna wants to talk. 312-981-7200. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
What do you think, Anna?
Well, at my school, like, general thing for, like, our dress code or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What are you in a high school? Are you in high school?
Yeah.
Summer break?
Yeah.
Congrats. Thanks for listening, by the way. Back to you, Anna.
Thanks. yeah, and so for us, pretty much, it's wear what you would wear around your grandparents and don't let, like, your butt show. And if your butt hangs out, then... Go down to the dean.
Same rule we have here at WGN, Anna.
But Bill,
I break that rule every day.
So, but do you kind of understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't think your butt should be showing at school.
Yeah, it's gross. Like, if a girl's, like, sitting in a seat and, like, her butt's hanging out or whatever, and then you have to sit in that seat, and you're like, ew.
Yeah.
I don't want your, like, butt. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
what are your thoughts about wearing shoes with a bikini? Shouldn't you be barefoot while wearing a bikini?
I mean, yeah, but, like, if you're on a scooter, you know, and, like, scooters are hot sometimes, you know, with the metal.
Yep.
And so it's one of those things where, like, you don't want to burn your feet, so, you know. Right.
Good thoughts. Anna, thank you for calling.
Practical.
We appreciate
that. Thank you guys so much.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
So again, Anna's school has gone with the grandparent method, which is only dress in things that you wouldn't be embarrassed for your grandparents to see you wear.
What if your grandparent is Jessica Simpson?
Oh, well, I hadn't thought
of
that.
Or Cher.
Right, right. That screws up the curve considerably, doesn't it? I never thought of that. Wow.
I want to tell everybody about this cool show that's going on tomorrow night. I am so excited about this. The legendary singer-songwriter Donovan coming to the Paramount in Aurora tomorrow night, 8 p.m. show. Time to get your tickets now because there are a limited amount available. Of course, Donovan gave us Season of the Witch that you're hearing right now, Mellow Yellow, Sunshine Superman. He's kind of an icon.
He's an icon.
Of the rock's golden age. The tickets are going pretty quickly for this rare Chicago area concert, so make plans today. See Donovan at the Paramount Theater. Tomorrow night, you can go to Ticketmaster.com or the Paramount box office. And I am so excited because I get to bring him out.
That's
I get to
be fun.
Introduce him on stage. Pretty
that
exciting.
Is going to be a lot of fun. He's iconic. You know that.
He's iconic.
He is. All right, we must take a break. Very taxing. We'll take a quick break. We'll get some news and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Sounds so much cooler when Domati says it than when you or I say it. It just sounds cooler.
I forgot my pungo out.
Now, Domati, I told Wendy this, and maybe you can back me up on it. Your last name is also one of the characters' names, one of the dog's names, actually, in 101 Dalmatians. Did you know that?
You got it. Yeah. Pungo, like the Dalmatian. When I'm telling people how to pronounce it, that's what I always say.
Wendy didn't believe me.
It's true.
It's true. One of the what you now you still look like
I didn't know that
like
you
we're
said,
in cahoots.
I just take everything Bill says with a grain of salt, and I would like, since you're new here, Domati, to explain that to you. Be very careful when Bill tells you stuff.
It's true, but this time it's real. One time it's real.
I had a little disagreement with Jimmy Mack this morning.
Oh no,
my husband. It was stupid. But we have two sinks in our bathroom.
Yeah.
We each have our own toothbrush.
Yeah. And whoa, rich people. Push that in our faces, miss. We all have our own toothbrush.
Shut up. Actually, he has an electric one. He really likes that. But I have two separate things, two tubes of toothpaste. I don't like to share my toothpaste.
Like the Vanderbilts.
No, but... He ran out, and he is capable of going to the store and buying toiletries.
Yeah.
But no, he used my toothpaste, and then when I go to grab it, it's not there.
You guys fought over this?
No, it's just...
What went down? What'd you say?
I just said, where's my toothpaste? And then as I was saying that, I'm like, oh, it's over. Don't touch my toothpaste.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
That's mine.
Well, go get some more.
Right.
These are stupid little fights, but it wasn't even really a fight.
I bet most people have those, though.
Yeah, but I'm very protective of my toothpaste because I buy special toothpaste. And
what makes your toothpaste special?
It's
I'm just curious.
The Colgate Express Whitening one, and I, you know, it's expensive.
It is expensive.
And he took my shampoo to put in his gym bag to go to the health club.
He's got no regard at all for your privacy.
I buy expensive shampoo for me and crappy stuff for him. Doesn't he know that?
Right, that's the rule.
So these are stupid little things, but Huffington Post put a list together of totally laughable things that couples have actually fought about. Mm. This wasn't really a fight. It was just something that annoyed me.
Right.
And one of the listeners, or excuse me, readers, Alicia D., said, "We fought over what we would name our dog. If we ever happened to get a dog, when having absolutely no intention of ever getting a dog, but we still fought about what we would name
it." Oh. So the dog did not exist,
no,
but they were
but
just
hey,
saying...
But hey, if we get a dog, what would you want to name it? And that's what they fought over.
Oh, that seems like much.
Here's what Jesse C. says. He always wants to eat the vegetables I'm chopping for dinner, so he'll stealthily sneak up and grab a potato or a piece of broccoli before I can grab it back.
Mm-hmm.
One day I caught his hand with a piece of broccoli in it. We fought. It fell on the floor, so I picked it up and threw it at him.
Oh.
These are silly.
Oh. Ours, I think, Terry and mine would also be a food-related one, and it's ridiculous, but a lot of times, like after dinner in a restaurant, she'll see a dessert she wants and she'll say, I can't eat all of this. Do you want to split this? Because I don't usually get a dessert. But yeah, to help her out, I'll take one for the team.
Boy, that's tough.
I'll split your arm. Yeah. But I eat at a different pace than Terry does. So let's say it's a slice of key lime pie, because many times it is. I'll take some and I'll eat it. And I'll take more and then I'll eat it. And I'll take more and then I'll eat it. And it usually goes in a split. I get about 70% to her 30%. So she always goes, I don't know why we bother splitting things, but I'm in my head, I'm helping her out because I wouldn't be getting dessert at all. She just wants to split one.
Yeah, but if you're getting 70% of it, just order your own. That would bug me, too.
Yeah, it would bug me, too, now that I think about it.
It totally, especially it should, key lime pie.
It should be a 50-50, and I've even suggested a couple times, well, let's when it arrives, we'll just split it down the middle, and then I'll know where that boundary is. But I eat faster than she does. That's what I would say in court if this went to court, is that my pacing is a lot faster with any food, not just key lime pie. But she always goes, oh, splitting with you is a real pleasure because you don't get any food at all.
Why doesn't she eat what she wants and then push it to you when she's finished and then
good.
You can finish it? That's what I do for Jim.
Yeah, that's
I just
actually
want a couple of bites. I am really anal about things. I know that surprises
yeah.
you. But if there's a new soda or a new drink or Jim's opening something, I want to be the first. Oh, can I have a taste of that? But I have to be the first sip.
You have to be first in.
I'm the first sip, and then I give it to him. And with dessert, it's the same thing. It's like, I want the brownie overboard or whatever.
Right.
Will you split it with me? Okay. And then I have, like, honestly, two, maybe three little bites.
Rest
and then
goes
I
to him.
Push it over to him.
That's interesting. I could try that. I like that.
Have her go first. Ladies first.
Yeah. That seems amicable.
Because that's hardly splitting.
I don't know what it is.
Because it's better than you anticipated.
You know what it comes down to, and this will sound horrible, but it's true. My family, my mom and my dad and my brother, were voracious eaters. Like when food was put down, I called it survival of the fattest, which sounds horrible. But when the food was put down, it was like a race to get in and jump and eat the food. So for me, it's more of a survival tactic than it is a taste experience. You know, so I think even though the dynamic is different with my wife.
You've been accustomed to this.
I grew up on that.
There were only four people in your family, including parents. It sounds like, you know, you had 13 kids.
I used to get stabbed. I have marks from forks. I'd get stabbed. You know, if you weren't quick and got in there and took the food, you'd starve. So I pin it on that, you know?
See, I just, when I prepare dinner, I make a plate and give it to each person. Dylan always gets fed first because he's the youngest.
Yeah.
Reverse age? Yeah, and then Jim, and then I sit down with mine. But I do the whole plate. Like if I'm making, I made pork chops and scalloped potatoes and squash and asparagus. So I just plated it nicely, and then I would give it to him.
Maybe that's the answer, because ours was always
like family style.
Serve yourself. So I think there were weeks at a time that I didn't get any food.
What about when your family ordered a pizza?
Oh, forget it. All bets were off.
I have a relative who, honest to God, will take, when a pizza arrives, and I'm remaining nameless here, but he will grab, like, I don't know, six or seven pieces
what?
And just stack them on top of each other.
No, you take one piece,
you
and when you're done, you get
two,
another one.
And then you let everybody else kind of have
you
some.
You can't do that with
he
pizza.
He takes, like, half the pizza on his plate.
Oh, that's awful.
I know. He eats it. It's not like it's wasted, but don't you start with just taking a couple of pieces?
One.
And then round two, you can go back.
Right, go back as many times
Wait,
as you want.
For pizza we're talking
about?
Yeah. You take one piece to start?
Yes. No, I take two.
Are we talking squares or triangles?
Squares. I'm talking squares.
You take one square.
No,
what?
If it's square,
he's so petite,
I would.
You know.
I'm very delicate, Kevin.
If it's pie cut, one piece for sure.
Sure.
Right.
I get
that's
that.
That's how ours usually comes. It's Lou Malnati's, and it's usually a big slice. So you get one at a time. But you can't just be scouting out future pieces.
No.
It's terrible.
He takes half the pizza.
Seriously?
A quarter for sure.
I would never have him over.
If you're doing squares, I understand taking a few at a time, but you got to mix it up. You can't go all crust.
No, you have to jump in the middle.
Yeah, you got to grab some pieces that nobody else wants.
I like the middle better. You like the crust?
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes the crust better. You'd rather have the middle than the ends?
Absolutely.
What?
The ooey-gooey ones? Yeah.
Oh, no.
I got to have pizza now.
That's crazy. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion. If you'd like to contribute, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we were talking about laughable things that couples have actually fought about. According to Huffington Post, they asked their readers to participate. Alicia Kay.
No last names, please.
Where to eat at Disneyland. It was a serious fight. We were mad at each other for like 2 hours
over
it.
Oh, no, they fought over that. They're doomed for failure, I think, Wendy.
Gary T. says, we fought over who's a better singer, Karen Carpenter or Barbara Streisand.
No, that's legit.
Streisand, for sure.
It's Barbara Streisand.
Cups, says Mary A. He pours himself a glass of water or juice, and if he walks away from it for a minute, he'll get himself another glass. By the end of the night, there are many half-full glasses of drinks randomly placed throughout the house. Oh. It drives me bananas.
Now, can I piggyback onto that one just a little bit?
Yes.
All right. From time to time, we will need something in the house like new silverware or new plates or something like that. And in my opinion, that should be a group decision. That should not be just my wife's decision. It should be either all of our decisions or my wife and my decision.
For silverware?
Yeah. I mean...
You don't get a say.
The recent one was... like new place settings, like new bowls, plates, and all like that.
Did you get Fiesta wear? The
no,
real bright
we
stuff?
We can't afford that. You're rich, Wendy. You can afford that. Yeah, everyone's got their own expensive toothbrush at your house. We, you know, we have
you
to share
one we have to share. With the rabbit.
Right. So my wife just went out and bought some that I wasn't thrilled with, but I said, you know, with a major decision like that, it should go by committee, don't you think? Shouldn't just be one person's
decision.
You know,
it is so funny. It must be new place setting time because this morning before I came to work, I was looking at Crate and Barrel and Bed Bath and Beyond for new dishes that I'm going to buy.
Yeah, but don't you think Jimmy should have some say in this, or is this going to be all on you?
Once I decide what I want, I will say to him, hey, do you like these? And he will go, sure,
I
whatever.
Like that. But that's progress.
But
that's
but
good.
If he said no, I'd still get them.
You'd buy them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Would he notice? He'd notice, right?
Yeah, because I just have white plates and I want to go for more of a pop.
Oh, I understand that.
So what kind of dishes? What's wrong with them?
They're just ugly.
Dishes are all the same.
I don't like them. I don't like them
at
all.
Are they floral?
No, they have kind of an Aztec design to them, which I would
not like. Oh, yeah, I don't like those either.
No, they're not good, right? So, but don't you think that that's a major, I consider that, I put that in the bracket of big major purchases, and she just said, no, we needed some and I bought some. I found some I liked and I got them.
I don't think you should care too much because no one really cooks in your house that much.
That's
do you
true.
Even use them?
For ice cream. Put ice cream in them. But it's tainted my love of ice cream.
It oh, actually, I don't think so.
It's actually a good dietary move because now it makes me want ice cream less. I never thought anything would make me want ice cream less.
They're that bad?
They're just not pleasant. I don't know. The color
so
scheme.
Earthenware, I mean, it's kind of like terracotta-y?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. I just don't
I guess with a bold pattern like that, perhaps there should be just some discussion like, hey, do you like these?
Well, here's what makes it worse. Very often if she and I are shopping together, and it happens a lot, we'll see some and you kind of file it away. And like, if we ever need some, boy, these are really nice.
But Crate you forget
Barrel,
about them.
She just said it was out of necessity because every time she'd put them in the dishwasher, one would break. And she goes, we were down to like none.
That's what we're down to, too. And I just have white, plain white with a little like white raised pattern.
But that's classic. You can never go wrong with that.
And then, you know, if I got a different kind of white ones, Jim probably wouldn't even notice. But I want to go more bold, but yeah. Not Aztec, I'm not thinking.
No, I don't know why she did it. Yeah.
She does listen, you know.
She knows I don't like them because I said that when she got them, and this was about a month ago, I said, I don't remember us even... Because usually you'd have a family discussion about something like this. And I said, was I sick that day? Did I miss a day? What happened that day? But she said, no, we needed some. I bought some, and now we have some.
See, I think that's pretty cute, and she should be happy that you even care.
Right. That's how I'm selling it.
I'm with you. Because when we registered for our wedding, I did go with Jim, and I said, do you like this silverware? And it was funny, because he would pick it up, and he'd like, this one's too heavy. This one's
right.
too narrow. So we did kind of do it together.
Most guys, seriously, do not care about that, but some guys...
Jim really did.
Yeah, because you're around it all the time, you know?
All right, well, it's turned into a stupid things couples fight about at the Leff household.
Yeah.
Elise, how are you?
Hi. When we first got... I'm married almost 38 years.
Congratulations.
Congrats. thank you. When we went looking for dishes, I liked something that had a colored circle in the middle. And my husband said, it looks like a bullseye. I don't want to eat off of it.
And you listened to him?
I did. But we went to a false craft, and then years later I went to something else. But he doesn't know how to load a dishwasher because all my dishes were cracking.
Oh.
So we were at the mall in Indiana, and I bought Corningware that doesn't break.
Maybe I should do that, because honestly, and I will say this completely out loud, Jimmy Mack does all the dishes. Always.
Does he really?
Always.
Wow.
I do the cooking, he does the dishes, and he overloads the dishwasher too, Elise, so I have cracked glasses, cracked plates, but I'm glad he does it.
I just, please, because I could hear the dishes being smacked together, so we finally went and bought
Corningware
dishes.
I like it.
Yep.
That'll work.
Thank you. Or use paper plates,
Elise.
Thanks
so much, Elise. Yeah, yeah.
But he does. He handles all the dishes. Yeah. Always.
Now, along the same lines with our tableware, my wife has also done this. Terry has done this with a couple of paintings in our house that are prominently featured. She's just seen them and purchased them, and then we hang them up. And with a giant table in one of the rooms that I wasn't pleased with. All of a sudden,
you
we just had a giant table.
Air.
No,
you
I know
she gives you $20 a day allowance. You know you're going to lose that.
This is why I only get $20, because I'd be going out and buying paintings and tables, and then we'd have a mess, because then we wouldn't have room for all that stuff.
See, I honestly will buy a painting. I bought a painting that I put in our front room. And
without consulting Jim at all?
Well, I bought it, and it wasn't that expensive. It was at TJ Maxx or something, I don't know, $40.
Yeah.
And I said, do you like this? And he said, yeah, I love it. And then I hung it up.
Oh.
If he didn't like it, I might have said, okay, I'll look for something else.
Would you have? All right. In our, not
she
in
doesn't
house.
Even give you a choice. She just,
it's
up.
Up
and it's
I
up.
Just show up, and I'll go, we didn't have that paint. Do we have that painting before?
Is it Aztecian?
Yeah, it's all Aztecian.
Is she?
No, it's not.
She wants to move to Arizona now. Is she wearing turquoise all the time?
Yeah. Should I be worried? No, it's not all Aztecian, the plateware is. But we've got this giant table in one of our rooms that I just came home, and I said, huh? And she goes, no, you'll like it. She goes, if you don't like it right away, you'll like it. And that was like 8 years ago, and I still don't like it.
Joe, you want to jump in on this before we go to break?
Real quick, we went to Arizona, my wife and I, back in the end of April to visit her girlfriend and her husband. They made dinner, and through dinner, they were just telling us how she just bought all these brand new plates, and they were, you know, nice quality plates and everything else.
Yeah.
So after dinner, I'm doing the dishes, trying to be a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the dishes. And the whole time we've been there for the 4 days prior to that, all this guy talked about was the scorpions out there. And I'm definitely afraid. That's my omen, the scorpions.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing dishes. He walks out the patio door, and as he opened the patio door, a grasshopper jumped in, and the sink is right to the left of it.
Yeah.
It hit me in the face.
Wow.
I dropped the plate that I was washing onto seven other of her brand new plates.
Wow.
All 8 plates.
Took them all out?
Took them all out.
Did you offer to replace them?
I did.
Did she make you?
They said no. But
you're lucky.
I still feel bad to this day. But it,
have you been invited back to their house ever?
Not yet.
Although, Joe, Bill has a great idea. Why don't you go to his house and do the dishes so you can break
Please.
All the Aztec dinnerware?
Come on over.
Yep, that's a good excuse. There you go.
Thank you so much.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back with news. We're going to talk to Dean Richards as well today, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's all coming up.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points, Dean.
I love Dean.
It's impossible to not love Dean Richards. Dean is here. He comes by every week, and we discuss the world of film. Dean, a quick question for
Mel,
you.
Yeah, Mel, hang on just a
sure.
second. Bill and Wendy are just saying it's impossible not to love me,
yeah.
Mel.
Yeah. Oh, did you tell Mel that?
I was on the phone with him.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah. We talk on the phone all
the time.
Oh, that's
so nice.
We talk in these one-sided Bob Newhart-like conversations all the time. Yeah, Mel. I got to go now.
You say that Hollywood's never been greater? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that kind of talk?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. George Clooney's twins were born 3 days ago. Neither of them have directed anything. What's going on, Dean? Why the slowdown?
Slackers. They're slackers like their mother.
Yep. That's right.
Have done absolutely nothing with their life.
Yeah.
boy, it's nice, right?
Yeah, it is nice for him.
It's nice.
His father, Nick Clooney, does a movie show on cable. He's very, very good at it. And yep. I read some tweets that he did the other day talking about how great it is to be a grandfather and how thrilled he is. It was really nice to read those.
I think it's very lovely. I wish them the best.
L and L.
Alexander and Ella. Mm-hmm. Lovely names. When these kids turn 10 years old, George Clooney will be applying for Medicare.
Right. That's true.
You guys, really.
Dean's just doing math. It's just a math problem. Don't you think,
isn't this kind of a thing, Bill? Like when you have, don't you think as a father,
yeah.
I'll be able to play ball with my kids. I'll be able to, take them to the zoo,
right.
to the park. You don't think I'm going to be able to take my kids to the Walgreens to buy Depend undergarments?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That karma train is a beast. That's all I'm saying, guys.
Ding, 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 ding.
How old is he?
George Clooney's
56.
56. But Tony Randall's been dead 11 years. He just had a baby in May.
And he still takes the kids to the zoo.
He still does.
All right. I stand corrected.
Don't you think George Clooney, though, honestly, is one of those throwback movie stars. Of all the guys making movies today, and you could put Tom Hanks in the same category, they remind you of the stars of old,
like,
don't they?
Like Clark Gable, that's who Clooney totally reminds me
of. Cary Grant, kind of, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And you can still take your kids to the zoo and play ball at 66, by the way.
Sure, of course.
Plus, you can do the Wii baseball.
Right.
And not go outside at all.
Dad, have the butler throw me some pitches.
Did you say Wii baseball because you think he has bladder problems? Why did you say Wii baseball?
No,
back to my Depend undergarments theory.
Do kids go out and play baseball anymore, or they do it all on a computer?
It's an app. They got an app. Baseball app.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Am I thinking like outdated? Come on, Dad, let's go have a catch. Do
maybe.
You guys not have a cornfield in your backyard like I do?
Everybody does. Everybody does. Now, Dean, when that movie came out, when Field of Dreams came out, and Wendy, you and I discussed this at great lengths one day. I don't know if you remember. That phraseology was kind of strange to most of us, because in the Midwest, we didn't use that phrase, have a catch. We'd
you
say,
play
catch.
Catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Dad, let's play catch and have a pop.
Right, that's what we'd say.
Pop meaning a drink?
No, we used to mean let's get into a fight with someone.
Right, right.
Pop them in the face.
Right. If you punch them, they will come.
Upside their head.
Yes, right.
Hayed, two syllables, hayed, as we used to say.
That's how kids said it back then, and everybody was
happy. Where'd you grow up, Dean?
I grew up with my friends rerunning Dwayne Wayne.
Hey. I loved that show. That was one of my favorite shows.
At the malt shop with Shirley.
Oh, that's a good time.
Shirley Hemphill, God rest her soul.
Oh, yeah.
We miss her. Very much miss her. All right, when we return, the movie The Mummy is opening this weekend. Tom Cruise in an action adventure flick. Who would have thought?
Good.
It does look good. Dean will tell us whether or not it's good. Mm-hmm. And then a movie, Dean, that I've not heard of before, Megan Levy. I'm not familiar with that at all. So we'll cover those two and other things. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking to Dean Richards from WGN TV and radio, actually.
Yeah.
He's
double
dipping.
So now he's in a movie called The Mummy, which...
Dean is?
No, Dean's not in The Mummy.
I am.
Oh, you are in it, Dean?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's called I Want My Mummy.
It was an English film about our maternal parent. Hello, Mummy.
Hello, Mummy.
Oh, hey, well, speaking of, good. Can I just say how cute all of Wendy's pictures have been on Facebook this week? The mummy of the proud graduates.
Yep.
Just so cute pictures.
Sure.
Thank you.
Wonderful, proud, lovely.
Crybaby.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Very cute. Very cute, Mummy.
Those are nice.
Thank
Those
you.
Are very nice. All right.
Dundee.
So So The Mummy, is it a remake of all the other Mummy movies, or is it a different angle?
No, it's a pretty different angle.
Is it?
And the old Mummy movies are so cool. I've spent the last couple of days just looking at the trailers for the original Mummy movie with Boris Karloff in 1932. Mm. Is so scary. It's just awesome and hilarious at the same time because it's so melodramatic. And then there's a 1959 version and a 1964 version, and they keep getting cheesier and cheesier.
Yeah, they
and cheesier.
Do. Yeah.
In a way, so great. This Tom Cruise version is pretty different. They have a girl mummy this time. They've done a little gender flip. And actress Sophia Boutella is...
She's pretty, by the way.
Well, not, you know, yeah, really, even as a mummy. Oh. You know, even as an evil Egyptian princess who was buried alive a couple of thousand years ago, still very, very
still
hot.
Looks good.
Very hot.
Yep.
She is uncovered by this kind of ne'er-do-well thief of antiquities, who is played by Tom Cruise in the movie, and he unleashes this ancient evil back out on the world. So it's, you know, bandage bad guys and girls, lots of action, lots of noise that leads no place. This movie, ultimately, a huge disappointment. It is, unfortunately, not very good at all. They just completely missed the mark of what makes these kinds of movies so great that Marvel has been so good at, and even DC Comics has been so good at. And if there's a shining example of how to make an action movie fantastic, it's last week's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Maybe the classic example. All directors should have to see that if they're thinking about making an action movie. So, you know, we can have the exact same movie over and over right. and over and over again.
Right.
That would be good. But so disappointing on The Mummy. I gave it C-. But even more disappointing to me is that Universal Pictures is this is the first picture in what they're calling their dark universe, in which they're going to remake a lot of their classic horror movies, The Mummy and remake Frankenstein and Invisible Man and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, with Russell Crowe, who has a little bit of a introduction in this Mummy movie and Wolfman, and you know some of the real fantastic Universal classic monster movies from back in the day. This does not bode well if this is the path that they're going down. So it's all action and you know, little content. I've said a million times, if there's no story, there's no movie.
Right.
And the story is really limited here. They think they can substitute you know, an interesting story, a compelling storyline with lots of special effects and explosions and, you know, things like that, and it never works. It just absolutely never works. And
Dean, the Mummy movies they made about 10 years ago with The Rock were actually pretty good,
weren't they?
They
were good.
Was that The Rock or was Brendan Fraser?
Well, he was in them, but then The Rock started showing up. You know how The Rock is.
He shows up everywhere.
He just shows up.
You can't get rid of him.
No.
I was laying on the beach in Miami the other day. I saw him running by with Zac Efron.
Yeah, he's always doing that kind of thing.
Our next president, guys.
Right. It's like, hey, Stepa, you're in my son.
Right.
Boy, you would black all your
Heaven's sakes, you're 12 feet tall. Stand aside a little bit, will you?
Dean, are you the one who pointed out that anytime Tom Cruise is on an airplane in a movie, it doesn't end well, that the airplane has all sorts of problems?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Or running, if you happen to be in Dubai, as I know you often are,
yes.
And you happen to be near the world's tallest building, and you know, you're just standing there, and suddenly Tom Cruise starts running up the side of the building. Nothing, you know a car's going to fall out of the building,
sure.
Or something like that's going to happen.
Did he do his own stunts in this as well? Because he's known for
that.
He
always does.
He likes to do his own stunts. He does some of his own stunts. I don't think they let him do everything, but he does he does a lot of his own stuff. I will give him that much. And I will point out, nobody runs in a straight line faster than Tom Cruise
does.
He's
very fast. He is very fast.
He does that in every movie.
Yeah.
Also, even if it's not appropriate for any reason.
He just likes to run.
He's talking to somebody in a really serious, dramatic moment. He goes, can you hang on for just a second?
Gotta
and
run.
He runs like four blocks and then comes back. Thanks. I had to get that in this movie.
Wendy and I had on an actor, Chicago actor, Jake Johnson, who's in the TV show The New Girl, but he plays Tom Cruise's sidekick, hilarious sidekick. Is he good in this? I like him a lot.
Yeah, the side players are all fine. The problems here are script and the composition, the way this movie is put together. The actors really just don't have very very good material to work with.
Yeah,
I think that's really the biggest problem with this movie. I like Jake Johnson too.
All right, so
he's pretty good. So C minus
for The Mummy. What about Megan Levy? I don't even know what that is.
So Megan Levy is this is a true story. I actually met the real Megan Levy a couple of weeks ago, who was a United States Marine. She was a she was the movie starts off and she's sort of a teenage girl without much direction, you know, just like searching for something in her life. Nothing goes right, and she's trying to find some direction. So she joins the United States Marines and becomes a handler, a trainer of these canine bomb sniffing German Shepherds, which is, you know, she's a kind of a Kate Mara, stars in the movie. And, you know, the dogs are bigger and more powerful than she is. But, you know, through determination, works with this one dog who's very difficult to handle. They become a team. And they wind up going on about 100 missions in Iraq, into some of the most dangerous places in Iraq, sniffing out bombs and saving the lives of Marines and other servicemen and women, until an explosion happens that puts her in the hospital, and she is separated from her dog, her best friend, and it's her trying to, you know, reunite with Rex, the dog, trying to get back together again. You know, it's not a boy and his dog story; it's a girl and her dog story. And it really is kind of lovely. I'm a dog lover, number one. The last dog that I had was a German Shepherd, so this really hit home for me of the intense loyalty that German Shepherds have, the amazing intelligence that German Shepherds have. It made me have a new appreciation for the kind of training that not only the dogs have to go through, but the humans, and what the humans go through, and what these programs are like, trying to get these dogs and their handlers proficient to go to some of the most dangerous places on Earth to try to sniff out these bombs and save some lives.
So much time and so much patience goes into that.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's a sweet story. It's a very interesting story. Kate Mara is very good. Common, Chicago's own, is in the movie. He's a
rapper.
The rapper.
Yeah,
exactly right. Boy, you are a man of the streets.
Well, thank you, Dean, for recognizing
I'll tell you that.
Thank
much.
You very much.
You're
for
so
recognizing.
Street.
You were
thank
down
you.
With the rappers.
Yeah,
and I don't just mean candy rappers. I mean all the rappers. All
I would have got Lil Bow Wow, knowing it's a dog movie, but that's just me.
That would make better sense.
Good one, Billy. You
thank
can go
you.
Home now.
I'm done for the day, Dean.
It's not going to get any better than that for the rest of the day.
Nope.
A really really touching movie, a very interesting movie, and I wound up giving this one Dean's List B.
That's better. That's much better. Dean, thanks so much. We hope you have a great weekend.
You betcha. See ya.
That's Dean Richards. That's who that is. We'll take a quick break.
Can I just say something real quickly?
Yeah.
The James Comey thing is over, the hearing, so we don't have to worry about it, but we will be going to the stream. Elise Glink will be sitting in for Steve Bertrand, and how about we talk to her next? Does that sound good?